before any Dharma activity or any activity in general, we should make good motivation. People sometimes have a misconception. They think that while they're doing their sadhanas, while they're doing their prayers, while they're doing their mantras, then they should be very well behaved, chant well, or recite well, and sit well and dress well while we're in front of the altar. And they think that when we do that, then we're Buddhists, or we're spiritual, or we're holy. But actually, that's a misconception. The time that we're on the meditation cushion, or the time we're doing our sadhanas, is very easy time. It's a very relaxed time. It's a time that is kind of like recharging your battery. The actual time of practice, or the actual time we should be doing our practice, is when we're out of our sadhana, when we're not doing our sadhana. Why? Because our sadhanas are a half hour. Our sadhanas are 45 minutes. Our sadhanas maybe is 1 hour. But the time that we're actually thinking, acting, and associating with others is 23 hours. So the 23 hours is much more important than the 1 hour or the half hour that we're doing our sadhanas. Because when we're doing our sadhanas, we're reciting things. So we can't say negative things much with our speech. We're obviously, most of the time we're thinking about some Dharma subject, or close to it, or near, or something resembling it. And also our body actions, we can't do much, because while we're doing our sadhanas, we have to keep still. Whether we're sitting on a chair, we're sitting in meditation in front of the altar, on our bed, on the sofa, we still have to stay still because we're doing our sadhana. So body, speech, and mind is pretty much, to some degree, focused on the three jewels. But when we're out of our sadhana, the 22 hours, the 23 hours, that's the most dangerous. That is when we're lazy, we don't want to push ourselves, or we're engaged in negative actions, or we're engaged in no actions. So the time that we're out of our sadhana is a time we create more negative karma, is more crucial, or create positive karma is more important. So during our sadhana is to correct our motivation, is to think about the Dharma, is to think about why we're here, is to think about what we've learned, to think about our own actions, to contemplate on the cause and effect, to think about what we want to do. But when we're out of our sadhanas is the actual time where we enact or engage in the real Dharma practice. So in sadhana is not the real Dharma practice. Out of the sadhana is the real Dharma practice. Why is that? Because that's how we really are. That's how we really are. When we're not reciting mantras, when we are not doing our meditations and sadhanas, that's how we really are. When people talk to us, how we deal with it. When we get upset, how we deal with it. When disasters happen, how we deal with it. When we're not watched, how we act, how we behave. When we have responsibilities to do, how we carry out responsibilities. So actually, that one is more crucial. That one's much more crucial. So people usually, for their sadhanas and meditation sessions, they set out beautiful candles, they set out beautiful offerings on the altar, they make prostrations, or they dress well, or they sit in front of the altar, and they do their mantras. And they say, oh, well, that's my Dharma practice every day. You know, I'm doing my Dharma practice, I'm doing my meditation session, I'm becoming one with the Buddha, I'm becoming one with myself, but that's not it. Think about it. The negative actions that we create through laziness, irresponsibility, anger, or through habituations is when we're out of our sadhana phase, or we're out of our sadhana time, or we're off of the meditation cushion. When we're off of the meditation cushion is the most dangerous time. That is the real time when we're doing our sadhana. Why? Sadhana is self-generate. Sadhana actually means self-generate, or to change oneself. So during our meditational time, we are transforming into a deity. We're transforming into a Buddha. If we're doing tantric meditations, we're transforming into the qualities of a Buddha. If we're doing non-tantric meditations, we're making prayers to become a Buddha. So when we're out of doing our sadhanas, when we're doing our sadhanas, we're actually generating the mind to become a Buddha, or becoming a Buddha. So therefore, when we're out of our sadhanas, that's when we act out what we've been doing during our sadhanas. The prayers we've done during our sadhanas, the aspirations we've done during our sadhanas, the motivations we create during our sadness, when do we actually act that out? Another life? Another year? Another time? No. Immediately when we finish our sadness, that's when we act out our prayers. Immediately. So whatever prayers we've done during our sadness, whatever motivation we've done during our sadness, whatever dedications or whatever aspirations that we've done during our sadness, when we finish our sadness, that's when we're supposed to act it out. So when we do our sadness, after we finish, we dedicate, we plant the seeds of what we prayed for during our sadhana. Then after our sadhana is finished, the 23 hours that are left during the day, out of sadhana time, out of the cushion, out of the cave, out of the meditation time, is when we activate that karma. So every day, for 23 hours, let's say our sadhana is 1 hour, it's just for convenience sake. Every day, 23 hours, we are supposed to act out the prayers we have done during our sadhana. We are supposed to live the prayers that we have done during our sadhana. We are supposed to manifest and train towards that. So the actual sadhana time is more battery recharging. But the actual usage of the battery is when we're finished with our sadhana. So we have to make sure that the 23 hours of the day is very important. We have to make sure that we are alert with ourselves, how we think, how we act, and to constantly push ourselves as we have aspired when we were doing our sadhanas. So, don't think that when we're not doing our mantras and sadhanas that we can have free run or act as we like or be as we like. Wrong motivation. Why? Then you'll never change. Why will you never change after 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year? Because you've separated your life or daily time from your sadhana time. When you've separated your life, this is my sadhana time, this is when I'm supposed to be holy and good and think good things, but the other hours is just I'm free, then it's completely wrong. Completely. Then you never transform. So we look at people who are in Dharma for a long time, they don't transform. Why? In their mind, they've separated. Prayer, sadhana, meditation, dedication, recitation, chanting is one session. The other time is another session of my life. That's absolutely wrong. I believe, and I am absolutely correct on this, when we check the tantric texts, I am absolutely correct, which is, I believe our real sadhana time is the 23 hours. That is a crucial time. Why? That is when we can inverted commas slip. That's when we go back to our old habits. That is also when we forget who we are. That is when we don't think about the prayers we've done. And that is the time where we collect the most negative karma or the most positive karma. And that is the time where we're actually applying what we have meditated, prayed, and learned towards self-transformation. So we have to be very alert. Like right now, we're not doing our sadhanas. We have to be extremely alert with our mind. We have to be extremely aware with our mind. And why do we have to do that? In the beginning, training's like that. But it becomes better and it becomes easier. And when we apply ourselves every single day, that's how you see a change. As His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama says, if you look for change on a daily basis, it's impossible. If you look for change on a monthly basis, also very difficult. But he says, if you look for change on a yearly basis, there you can see some difference. But if you look 2-3 years, he said definitely there's a difference if you apply yourself every single day. Daily difficult. It's like gaining or losing weight. If we look in the mirror every single day, are we gaining weight or losing weight? It's very difficult to tell because it's quite subtle. But if we look weekly or 2 weekly or monthly, oh yeah, I've gained some weight. Oh, I lost some weight. If you look at yourself every day, has my hair grown? It's very difficult to tell. But if you look at yourself weekly or 2 weeks or monthly, oh yeah, my hair has grown. So everybody in this room, monthly if we look, yeah, my hair has grown, except that month. Everybody can look and say, oh yeah, my hair has gone longer. Except that month. That month maybe needs a few months to look. Yeah, except that month. But weight can use that example, right? Weight. Yes. Yes, so most of us can apply. So in any case, when we look to see change on a daily basis, cannot. But if we don't apply on a daily basis, the daily basis become a month, become a 2 months, become a year, become 2 years. They add up. We need to see a change. So if we don't see a change, is that daily we've not been applying. If we don't apply daily and we don't see a change, ultimately, no one can criticize us or say anything. Our karma comes back to us itself. No one can criticize us. So whether we have a teacher telling us off or screaming at us, doesn't matter. Why? Ultimately, karma comes back. And that's what we need to realize. So what we do during our sadhanas is very important, because they make the aspirational prayers and what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to think and act for the day. Then when we're finished with the sadhana, if our sadhana is doing Om Mani Padme Hum, we should concentrate on the qualities of compassion and forgiveness, on the 8 verses of thought transformation. We should concentrate on the 7-point mind training. We should concentrate on all the qualities that we should understand in order to achieve Avalokiteshvara's incredible qualities. So even if our sadhana every day is Om Mani Padme Hum, one mala, that's it. We should think what it represents. We should think what's the meaning of Om Mani Padme Hum. Then when we think like that, we make the aspirational prayers, then when we're out of doing the sadhana, when we finish up Om Mani Padme Hum, that's when the real action starts. And that's very, very important. So we have to be very vigilant. We have to be very alert. We have to be very aware. And we have to push ourselves out of the sadhana when we're out of sadhana time. Why? Because that's when it really counts. And we shouldn't depend on people watching us, or we shouldn't depend on a teacher, or we shouldn't depend on an outer source to watch us. Why? Because it is impossible to have someone watching us all the time. And if we depend on someone watching us, then we don't have a good relationship with ourselves. If we always depend on other people watching us, we don't have a very good relationship with ourselves. We don't like ourselves, or we don't put responsibility toward ourselves, or we don't actually rely upon ourselves. When we don't need other people to watch us, we have a very good relationship with ourselves. If we have a good relationship with ourselves, we will see our actions transform and change and bear good results. If we don't have a good relationship with ourselves, then we depend on other people to watch us or scold us or tell us off or to actually put us in our place or to guide us. And that also is not very good. Why? Because we're not acting on our own volition or acting from our own thinking or transformation or strength. We're acting because we're being watched. If we are acting because we are being watched, that builds up. Because then we send a psychological message to ourselves, oh, I'm being watched, I've got to be good. And then the minute I'm not watched, then I'm going to be myself. And that's a very bad message we send ourselves. And after months and months and years, what happens is we automatically get into this kind of mode. I'm being watched, I'll be good. I'm not being watched, I won't be good. So what happens? Even the time that we're good, we don't collect any positive karma. Nothing happens. Why? Because we're not good for inner transformation or inner thought or inner strength or inner understanding. We're just acting good because we are under threat. We are being watched. So how is that collecting good karma? Not possible. That's like a young monk who's frivolous and don't understand their vows or don't do any meditations, so they're always under threat they can lose their vows any time. As compared to an elder monk or senior monk, who the vows are very natural. They don't hold it, but they are acting naturally from the vows. Why? They contemplate and thought about it. There are monks who live their vows where it's very difficult to live their vows. Very, very difficult. Why? It's become like a prison. And there are monks who, it's as if they don't have any vows, but they act from the vows. Because it's from days and days of contemplation and acting. So similarly, if we have people watch us all the time, then our Dharma practice cannot bear many results. Why? We're not acting from ourself. We're not acting from our strength. So therefore, we can look at people around us. We can look at a lot of examples. Why some people transform and why some people don't transform. Those who transform, they actually have a very good relationship with themselves. So in Christian terms, it would be something like they have a good relationship with God. Why? If you have a very good relationship with God, you're very comfortable. you love yourself. You don't need people to tell you to do the good thing. You live in goodness. You live in positiveness and benefit. But if you don't have a good relationship with yourself, then many things you do cannot be successful. Why is that? Because you don't do it from you. You do it because you're forced. You do it because you're watched. You do it because you're afraid to get scolding or to have negative repercussions. So you're not doing it from you. You're doing it because you're being watched. And that's very dangerous. Why? It's a waste of time. We need to have control of our lives. We need to have control of ourselves. And we need to be comfortable with ourselves. And we need to be happy with ourselves. And we need to accept ourselves. And the only way we can do that is if we understand Buddha's teachings. If we understand Buddha's teachings, we will be very happy and comfortable with ourselves. We'll be very happy and comfortable with what happens. And we will see ourselves improve. Why? Because Buddha's teachings are a natural way of acting. The way we act is not natural. Being lazy is not natural. It's definitely not natural. Or being angersome is not natural. Or being sneaky is not natural. Being greedy is not natural. That's not a natural state of mind. That is unnatural. Why is it unnatural? Because those states of mind make us worried, unhappy, not have friends, lonely, and always on alert. When we're nice, when we have good motivation, when we're giving, or we're actually quite loving to others and caring, it's very natural because we feel good. We feel comfortable. We make other people feel comfortable. So people are comfortable, I'm comfortable. Comfort or comfortable mind or happy mind is a natural state. If it is an unnatural state, then we cannot practice to aspire towards that. If it is a natural state, then when we experience that state, even for a few minutes a day, then we feel happy. Happiness is a natural state of mind. Unhappiness is an unnatural state of mind. Why is it unnatural? Because you're unhappy. Where in the world do you like black, thunderstorm, or darkness, or suffering, or death, or ugliness, unhappiness, violence? Who likes that? Even people who are very violent, even people who are very angersome, they don't like other people who are violent and angersome. They like other people who, when they go around them, they feel calm and happy. Even wild animals who are violent, like tigers and leopards and panthers, even wild animals, they're only violent and angry, or they're in a violent state of mind for a few hours later. The rest of the time, they're laying around doing nothing. Even they're in a calm state of mind most of the time. So my point is, what is, you can check what is natural and unnatural with yourself. So if you wish to be in a natural state of mind, then you have to engage in actions that create that natural state of mind. And that is to be very comfortable with yourself. How do you become comfortable with yourself? To act in ways that are natural. At first it seems unnatural. Why? Because we're out of the habit. Many lifetimes of being out of the habit. But being natural, to be aware, is very natural. Very natural. To be kind is very natural. To be concerned about another person is very natural. And I want to establish that. It's natural because it brings us and others happiness. Everything we don't want, loneliness, disrespect, and people being angry with us, and people giving us a black face, everything we don't want can be avoided by engaging in natural actions. Unnatural actions lead to unnatural results. So therefore, when we act that is opposite Buddha's teachings, it is unnatural. Because Buddha's teachings bring us to a natural state of mind, clear light, calm, happy, forgiving, nice, effort, enthusiasm. Why? Because those tools bring us to even higher. Happiness, being kind, putting in effort, enthusiasm, all those are just tools. They are not in themselves the result. Those are just tools. The actual result is pure happiness. Happiness that doesn't end. Security. Happiness for others. Calmness. Calmness doesn't mean you can't shout and scream. Calmness means shout and scream becomes a method, not who you are. It's a very, very big difference. Very, very big difference. So what happens is this, is that the 45 minutes or the 1 hour we're out of the meditation cushion, off of the meditation cushion, is the most important time. That is when our practice really is. Why? Because that is the time we can collect more negative merit, demerit, sorry, or more positive merit. Why is that? Because we live more out of the cushion, off of the cushion, than we do on the cushion. Some of us, the meditation cushion is like a prison. The 20 or 30 or 15 or 10 minutes we need to do our sadhanas and mantras is like a prison. But actually, that is not the actual practice. That is when we set what we're supposed to do for that day. And then we set what we're supposed to do daily, weekly, monthly, and we push ourselves toward, you will see a change. In this life, everything you have, no matter how little or how big it is from effort. Even some of us, let's say we're married and we have a rich husband, and the rich husband takes care of us. Even that, some people say, well, they're not doing anything. That still is method. There is some sort of effort that arises from it, some sort of method. Why is that? You have to please your husband. You have to mold yourself, go to sleep at the time he likes to go to sleep, or eat what he likes to eat, wear what he likes you to wear, go and do what he likes you to do. So you need to adjust yourself and change yourself somehow to get some kind of result. So even people who are doing nothing, they think they are doing something to transform themselves or change themselves. For better or worse is different. To gain some kind of happiness and security. So while we have the freedom now, while we have the freedom, we have the opportunity now, we have the Dharma center, we have the Dharma teacher, our body is healthy, our mind is sound, our senses are clear. We should put 100% into the effort of doing Dharma. Why is that? Then we'll become comfortable with ourselves. We'll be very, very comfortable with ourselves. When we are comfortable with ourselves, the happiness we experience will be immeasurable. Immeasurable. When we think about it, how come after we do a Dharma action, we feel very happy? How come after 10 million niksamas, we're all very happy? How come? How come after we do a sales day at the mines, we feel very happy? We're tired. It was a long day, our feet hurts. Maybe we're thirsty, maybe we're hungry. Maybe we're sleepy. But actually, our mind is happy. We feel sleepy, happy. We're in pain, happy. Happily, we're in pain. How come? Although our body's in pain, we feel sleepy, we feel exhausted. Maybe our mouth hurt from talking. We feel happy. That's how you check if something is natural. How come when we're sneaky and we don't do our work, for the moment our body doesn't hurt as much or our mind doesn't have to think as much, but actually we're not happy because we're worried about what people think. We're worried about being caught. We're not happy. Definitely we're not happy. Why? Someone else has to do our job. And we seem like, oh, I got away with it and I feel happy. But we're not because we're worried. We're insecure. For the few minutes or the few hours that we experience the happiness from not doing our responsibility or cheating or not pushing ourselves, actually the price is very high. Why? We lose respect for people. People don't like us. We get ostracized. We lose respect for ourselves. The price is very high. It's not something worth paying for. Why? Why is it not worth paying for? You think about it. Because we are social beings. We need interaction with each other. We need people to smile at us. We need a warm human touch. We need care. We need to talk. We need to have conversation. We need someone to acknowledge us. We need attention. So if we need all that, how can we get love, respect, attention, care, and human warm feeling or warm interaction from people if they don't respect us? If they don't respect us, how do we get this warmth and good feeling from other human beings? How? So when we don't get this warmth and good feeling from other human beings, how do we feel? We can't give warmth and love and care to other human beings. Why? because we're not getting it. When we're not getting it, we don't give it. Then when other people also need it, they don't get it. Then they don't give it to us, and it becomes a very ugly cycle. What's that cycle? Of unhappiness, loneliness, a feeling that I'm not getting affection and care, and also, even worse, for many people, not are they feeling bad that they don't get it. They feel worse about not being able to give it. They're not able to give affection. They're not able to give love. They're not able to give any type of good feeling to another person, and that makes them feel very bad. Why is that? Because humans like to give as well as receive. So if we can't get good feeling from others, and we can't give good feeling from others, then we don't feel happy. When we don't feel happy, that is unnatural. How we act every single day has an incredible impact for people around us. It has an impact to ourselves, and it has an impact for the people around us. And the reason for that is, every day how we act, if we don't take responsibility and we don't do what we're supposed to do, and we don't act in a natural frame of mind, if we don't act that way, every single day, what happens is that we are going towards loneliness, unhappiness, fear, doubt, insecurity. Why? Because every single day we are sending that message to everybody around us. If you associate with me, I'm going to create problems for you. I'm going to make you insecure. I'm going to make you worried about me. I'm going to make you take responsibility for me. And everything that I do, you're going to have to check up and watch out and be careful, because I don't take responsibility for myself. So if you're around me, I'm a burden. I create heaviness and burdens around you. So that's one day, then it's 2 days, then 3 days. After a few days, after a few weeks, after a few months, definitely the people around us will get that message from us. What's that message? The message is, I will create unhappiness for you if I come around you. And so when we send that message to people, there's no way we can be happy. Why? All of us, there's no exception. Even people who stay in solitary meditational retreats in the mountains locked away, they still need love, they still need care and respect from people. You see, respect doesn't have to be proximity, meaning if you're very near me, then I can respect and love you, you can love and respect me, and we can be near each other. It can be that we're thousands of miles away from someone. We still need that from them. Because the human feeling of love, respect, and care is not space or proximity or closeness. It is an emotional feeling. It is an emotional feeling. That is why if someone is 100 miles away or 1,000 miles away and we don't see them for months or years, they can still affect us dramatically. If we hear from someone, oh, that person living in America doesn't feel good about me, and they're very disappointed with me, it will affect us even if I live all the way in China. Even if I live in America, it'll affect me. Why? Because it's not the proximity. Proximity is closeness or far. It is the feeling. It is the feeling. So that's why if we do something wrong and we avoid a person or we avoid a situation, that doesn't make us happy. Why? Because it's not proximity. It's not how close. It's we know how that person feels about us. We know how we made the person feel about us. We know how we made the person feel about them when we're around them. So when we know how they feel and how we made them feel and how we have lost they have lost respect for us, or they have lost care for us, and we created that. Even if we live in the same room with them or we live on different planets, we will feel unhappy. Why? Because human interaction does not depend on close or far, or rather the word is proximity. So people who escape and run, there is no escape. If we know that we've made other people happy, or we've damaged other people, or we've used other people, or we've not been kind with other people, or done our part, if we live very far away, every day we feel worried and upset. But you say, but I don't have to see the person, I don't feel it. No, whether you see the person and then they say things to you and it activates it, or you don't see them and it remains dormant, it's still with you. It is still with you. It is still with you. Why is it still with you? Because anytime it can be activated. And dormancy is very, very, very dangerous. Because why is dormancy dangerous? Because it can activate at the wrong time. And also, when you're with the person or with the situation, you're able to control it to some degree, to purify it, to get rid of it, or to resolve it. But when we run and when we escape and when we hide, it becomes bigger. Why does it become bigger? Because the chance of having a relationship or changing or transforming might be lost in this life. Why could it be lost in this life? We lose many opportunities. We lose many opportunities. And if we silently let it be lost, then everything else we do to obtain happiness is also a sham, is also fake. Why? Everything that we do, sitting, eating, getting dressed, going to any place, it's already preordained, or it's already in our mind that I'm going to do this so I'll be happy. So how can we wish for happiness when we do actions that are opposite of happiness? How can we wish for happiness when we do actions that are opposite of getting happiness? So therefore, the message that we send to other people is very powerful. After a day, a week, for some people a few hours, a few years, how do everybody feel around us? Do they respect us? Do they feel we're sneaky? Do they feel we don't care? How do they feel? For example, when people see my dog, when they see my dog, they think, oh, Yogi's so friendly. He doesn't bite. He's got a great personality. He's very cooperative. He listens. Oh, I like that. Why? Because one day we observe he's like that. The next day we observe he's like that. The next day. After a while, the mind's very relaxed. We don't examine Yogi anymore. We just say, oh, he's like that. He's very friendly. He's very gentle. He's very cooperative. His eyes are very soft. He has a very good heart. He's the type of dog that's actually a very nice dog. So we already know that we don't need to check. Because that's the message he sends to us every single day. And he's a dog. Imagine the message we send to people around us. Just imagine the message we send. When we're around people, do they think, uh-oh, I have to be alert with this person now because this person's going to forget something, going to destroy something, knock over something, break something, hurt something, uh-oh. Or then what's the other message? Uh-oh, if we go around this person, we're going to have to pay for everything. We have to be alert because it's always going to be some kind of, like trying to trick us or get something from us. Uh-oh, when I'm around this person, I'm going to have to do all the work. They're not going to do their share. They're not going to do what they have to do. You know, I can't depend on them. I can't rely on them. And whatever meetings we have or whatever we have decided to do, they're not going to do their part. Why? Because that's the message they've been sending me for weeks and months and days and years. Uh-oh, I don't think I want to be with this person. And that's the message we send ourselves. So how can we have a happy relationship with other people? How can we have an intimate relationship with other people? Because we can't be intimate with ourselves. Why can't we be intimate with ourselves? Because we're not comfortable with ourselves. Why are we not comfortable with ourselves? Because deep down inside ourselves, we know what we're doing to create the problems. So we're not happy. That's why people who are not happy with themselves and with other people, they're angersome. They get angry very quick. They're defensive. They protect themselves very much. And they always do things in such a way to impress other people. Why? Because they're hiding. So even those people who you compliment or give good things or you work with them or you do things with them, they don't feel happy. Why? Because they're not acting from a natural state of mind. They're acting from a hidden mind. They're hiding something. They're hiding. So what happens is, what is the message we're sending out to people? What is the message? When we think about monks, we fold our hands. We want to make offerings. We show respect. We want to prostrate. Why? Because most monks act in such a way that we want to be like that with them. There are some monks in robes that are not really good monks. But you see, those are less than the good monks, so then when we think about monks again, we go, oh. Now when we think about gangsters or people who do sell drugs and prostitution, immediately when we think about them, we don't like them. But there are people who are gangsters and prostitutes who are really nice people and kind people. They're in their situation not because they want to be, they're forced. Perhaps it's a family business, or because they're engaged, they're a kid, they've been inducted, we don't know. But they are. But most of the time, it is by will, it's because they want to hurt other people, or cheat, or get a shortcut, or break the law. So when we think about gangsters, we think, oh, I don't want to be associated with them. Similarly, what is the message we send out to people every day? What? And the message we send out to people, you have to understand, is not as strong as the message we send to ourselves. Why? The message we send to other people is filtered, is covered, is hidden, is glazed over, is beautified. It's pretty much not the truth what we're sending to other people. So if we're nice to people, it might be we're nice, it might be we want something. So my point is, but the message we send to ourselves is unfiltered, is direct, and is unhidden. Why is that? Why is that? Because we can't hide from ourselves. So if we keep sending this message to ourselves, what's my point? My point is, the message we're sending to other people might be 50 or 40% less than the message we send to ourselves because it's filtered, but eventually it builds up. See, whether you fill this cup up by drops of water, or you fill it up by a strong force of water, it'll still fill up. One is less, one is quicker, one is slower. Similarly, the message we send to other people is filtered. So it's slower, but it will build up. But the message we send to ourselves is not filtered, and that's very dangerous. Why? After a while, it'll be very difficult to change ourselves. Very, very difficult. If we don't accept in the law of karma, at this point, it's silly. It's actually beyond ridiculous at this point if we don't accept karma. We have too much evidence of it in our lives, in our personal lives. But if for any silly reason we still don't believe in karma, we don't live according to the law of karma, then we have to live according to the law of human association, or socialization. Why is that? If we send a message that we're irresponsible, that we don't care, that no matter what damage we do to other people, we will find ourselves alienated. We'll find ourselves away. So we can be in the middle of a big group, but still people won't respect us. People won't like us. How do you know? Because you can feel how edgy, how worried, and how you react to people. When people tell you things or say things to you, whether they're older, whether they're younger, whether they're good people or bad people, you'll react negatively to them. You will react very fast. So your anger will become bigger. Your unhappiness will become stronger. Your depression will become deeper. The hole you dig will become deeper and deeper and deeper. That's how you know you're not happy. So if you see yourselves becoming more angry, using more ugly language, alienating people that you like, or hurting people that you like, then you know you're on the wrong path. Why is that? That's the message you're sending to other people. So we have to think about that. Then think, what's the big deal if we send the message to other people? You know, I don't believe in karma, there's no karma. That's okay also. But you have to believe in love, human association, respect, kindness. You need other people to survive. You need your friends. Whether your friends are in the Dharma or not in the Dharma doesn't make a difference. People out of Dharma will tolerate more of your negative action because they have ulterior motive towards you. And you have ulterior motive towards them. But eventually your motivation and will catch up with you and your relationship will break up. People in the Dharma will also tolerate more because they have a better understanding of the mind. But people in the Dharma, their relationship can break up also. Why? Because people in the Dharma are not necessarily with us. So if you're in the Dharma, your relationship with people can break up. You shouldn't have this projection, oh, people need to tolerate me more because they're in the Dharma. They probably already do tolerate you much, much more. But people If you're say, oh, I'm not going to get involved with Dharma, I'm going to get involved with just outside samsara friends, that's all right too, but your association with them will be short-lived also. Short-lived and not very long, because why? If they don't get what you want, if they don't get what they want out of you, there's no reason for them to tolerate you. So outside people don't get what they want from you, they won't tolerate you. If they want money from you, if you don't have it, they're not going to tolerate you at all. They're not even going to look at you. If you don't have power, they're not going to tolerate you. If they want sex from you, maybe you can give them sex now, but your sex will run out one day. Because you can't be young and beautiful forever, you can't be skinny and fit forever. You'll run out. Or by disease. Some people cannot give sex anymore because they get ugly diseases. Age. So if people want wisdom from you, maybe your wisdom lasts one day or 2 days, so after they see through you that you don't have much wisdom, that you're just full of gossip, then they also lose respect for you, or they don't need you. So on the outside, how much people tolerate you is how much they can get from you, or how much you can give to them. And that's very important to know. So what's my meaning behind all that? There's no escape. There is no escape. What is the message we send out to other people? What is the message? And what is the message we're getting from other people? Are people alienating us? Staying away? Not really wanting to be close to us? And when we get that message from other people, combined with the message we send ourselves, anger will arise. Defense will arise. More harsh words will arise. Why? Because we need to say and do more things to protect ourselves. We think we're protecting ourselves, but we're not. Why are we not protecting ourselves? Protection means that we can't feel the pain that we're feeling. If we feel the pain that we're feeling, how can that be protection? It can't be protection. Protection means not feeling the pain that we are protecting ourselves from. If we can feel the pain, we are not protecting ourselves. We are not effective. We're not effective. So we have a wall that's falling apart, that's got holes and it's cracked, and the enemy can shoot us through the walls, or can sneak through the walls, or climb up the wall. Wouldn't it be better just to open up the door, let the enemy in, and surrender? Just surrender. You have a better chance of survival if you surrender. So that's why what we should do is we should surrender. We should stop protecting our laziness. We should stop protecting our lack of effort, lack of awareness. We should stop protecting it. We should open the door and just surrender. Enemies can become very good friends. So like that, what is the message we're sending out to other people? What is the message we're sending out to others all around us every single day? What is the message? What is the message? So if it's the wrong message we're sending out to other people, how can we expect happiness? Remember, our happiness is interdependent on others. Interdependent on other people around us. So if our happiness is interdependent on other people, and that we're not independent, then wouldn't it be very important to act and tame our minds in such a way that this interdependency becomes a good interdependency, not a negative one? Which one of us right now can live independently? Live independently means emotionally be independent. We don't need anybody. I'm an island. Who can? No one can. So each one of us cannot live independently. Each one of us cannot live independently. Since we're interdependent, wouldn't it be very smart to send the right message out to people around us? Wouldn't it be very right to send the right message to ourselves? Wouldn't it be very right that we create a good interdependent relationship? To me, that's more logical. You see, I like that because it's not about praying, and I like to stress that. It's not about chanting, it's not about hell, it's not about heaven, it's not about something watching you. It's about the truth. it's about yourself. It's about myself. It's about our human relationship. That's what it's about. And I like that because it's 100% true. We need to live on the basis of interdependency, on a very gross level and on a very ultimate level and on a very subtle level. And that's the truth. On top of that, we have the Buddhas to pray to. On top of that, we have powerful Dharma protectors to help us. On top of that, we have gurus to teach us. On top of that, we have the holy Dharma to give us a direction and a way. But the most important thing is this is the reason we should take responsibility. The reason we should take responsibility and the reason we should be different and to send the right message out. The reason is this. We are interdependent. And I think that's the best reason in the world. We are interdependent with each other. We need other people's love and support and kindness and help and money and livelihood and support. We need that. And other people need that from us. So how can we expect to get it and but we never give it? How can it always be that they have to give us love and care and take and correct our mistakes, but we never correct their mistakes or we never take care of them? Wouldn't that be that we drain or we're a parasite? A parasite is something that attaches itself to your body and sucks your blood. You don't, it doesn't give you anything, but it takes from you. It just takes. So this person is always in trouble, always needs money, always in a loan, always unhappy, always forgetting, always need you to correct them, always making mistakes, always disappointing people, always. So if you're around these people, you pretty much have to always be watching them, taking care of them. Even when it comes to donating things, they have nothing to donate. They have no money to give, they have nothing to give to others. But for themselves, they can give very easily. But for others, they can't. They can't give anything to others. You look sometimes when we have special sessions, when we have special sessions when we're doing things in the center, the people who consistently always donate and give, and there are people who always never ever give, and they are always in a situation they can't give. Even $10 or $20 or $30, they can't give anything. Why is that? That's what they choose. That's what they choose. They always simply cannot give, and that's the message to send to other people. So why is it that these type of people would expect happiness or get something good back? Am I criticizing or pointing fingers? No, it's a meditation. It is a meditation. It is a meditation on what? The truth. What truth? The very clean and clear fact that human existence is based on interdependency. That human happiness at our level, is based on interdependency. So we always make mistakes. We always forget things. We always have to be corrected. We always are damaging things. We always are forever a burden to others. Then how can we be happy? Why is it we can't be happy if we're always like that? Let me tell you why. Because we are dependent on other people. So we will lose our fan base. We will lose the respect of other people. We will lose the care and the affection and the protection of other people because we will wear them down. So whether we live 1,000 miles away from them and we see them once in 100 years or we see them every day, it doesn't make one difference on how it wears them down and how it tears us apart. Why does it tear us apart? Because we don't need to see their face or how they act to us to know how they feel about us. We know. So people, a human tendency is to avoid or not see or confront. And that's very bad. Why is that very bad? Because we think that's escape. We think that things will be alright. It cannot be alright. It's impossible to be alright. How can it be alright if we don't create the causes for it to be alright? If we're trying to plant things and cultivate rice, if we don't go to the rice field every day to take care of it, how do we expect the rice to be cultivated at the end of the season? So how do we expect another person to love us or to give us affection and care and social good feeling if we don't create the causes? If we don't cultivate the rice, there will be no rice. How can avoiding the rice field produce rice? How can avoid another person create love and affection? So, what's the truth of the matter? The truth of the matter is very powerful. It's very powerful because it's a truth. Why is it very powerful? Because it is a truth that transcends and overrides all barriers, cultures, religions, backgrounds, thinking, all. That is interdependency. We are not alone. We cannot survive alone. We cannot act alone. In many ways, we are interdependent with each other. We are dependent on each other. We may even be financially independent of other people, but emotionally, we are not independent. We are not independent of another. We are dependent and interdependent. So if we are interdependent with each other, if we are interdependent, if we want the domino effect, which is we line up all the domino chips, and we hit one and they just fall down, and they just fall, one hits one hits one. If one is missing, how is this one going to hit this one? This one cannot fall. It's interdependency. And interdependency or dependency, how the message we send to other people is the message we get back. The message we get back furthers the message we send to other people. And then it becomes a vicious cycle. That's what we call samsara. An endless wheel. So how long we've been alive now? How many years? What's the message we've been sending to other people? Why is it for some people, as the years go by, people respect them more and more and more and more and more? Why is that? Why is it as the years go by, people respect some people less and less and less and less and less? You see, if you have sex with a person, if you drink with a person, if you go out with a person, and you do drugs with a person, that can make you lose respect for them or not respect them or not think highly of them for a short while. But actually, that's very superficial. It's how much a person takes responsibility. It's how much a person cares. It's how much a person doesn't burden you and other people. That's what earns your respect. That's why in the case of Shugyen Chungpa Rinpoche, even though he was having sex with this person, it didn't destroy people's faith or confidence in him. Why? Because that everybody can see after a while. In the beginning, people say, oh, why like that? Why like that? Why like that? But actually, when we understand it better, when we look at his quality and his care and his love, we find out that having sex for him was like eating, sleeping, peeing, washing. It was nothing, it was just an activity. But when we look deeper, why do so many people respect him? And their respect for him became stronger. I mean, when he first came to America, he had very little following. He had a lot of problems. He had immigration problems. And a lot of people within the Tibetan community were against him. And he was very nervous about how the Karmapa felt about him. He went through extensive preparation for the Karmapa to come. He was very worried. He had his students dress up. He became clean, groomed, rooms painted. And a lot of preparation was done. Because he was hiding something? No. Because he was acting in such a way to get close to his students so that he can help them. But that would not be understood in the Tibetan community. See, in the Tibetan community, a teacher doesn't have to go to that extent to teach a Dharma to the student, because the Dharma consciousness is mass. The Dharma consciousness in the Tibetan community is mass. Everybody knows it. So they don't have to go the extra mile to please or make the student happy or comfortable. But in a foreign situation, you have to do that. In the foreign situation, the teachers have to work double hard. The teachers have to make double the effort. Why? Because you're teaching people that know nothing about Dharma, that have no consciousness of the Dharma, that understand it not at all. It's like teaching barbarians in a way. Why? What are barbarians? Barbarians are people whose mind is pervasively selfish. Me, 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 me. It's very hard to break through. Very, very hard. See, in the Tibetan situation, the temple is already there. people will come and donate to the temple immediately. The minute you mention it, you don't have to explain why. You just say it's for the temple. You just say that, immediately people will donate and give. And they don't question it. If you tell them to feed the monks or make statues, no problem. Like one of the monks was telling me in my part of Tibet, that if I go there, I was joking with him. I said, oh, the monastery is quite small and all that stuff. He says, oh, no problem. If you go there, the whole village will come out in full force to rebuild the monastery for you. I said, why is that? He said, because everybody knows the benefit. Everybody knows the benefit of a monastery, of statues, and lamas, and monks. They all know the benefit. You don't have to explain that to them. So I said, but we don't have much money. He said, we don't need money in our village. I said, why? He said, because the forest is so vast. We just go in there, we cut the wood, we bring it back. We have craftsmen, we have woodsmen, we have contractors. We can build a temple. We build it ourselves. And people will do that on their time off, on weekends, on evenings. They'll just come and build it. Why? Because they know the benefit. And we don't need money. But that's, and then when the teacher gives teachings, you don't have to beg people to come. You don't have to tell them to stay awake. You don't have to tell them to be alert. You don't have to say any of that. They already know. I think Wong would understand that coming from Thailand. If people get donations for temples, they talk, everybody knows. It's, you don't have to explain the benefits. Oh, there's karma, you collect merit, you change. You don't have to say respect teachers. You don't have to say, oh, don't fight with teachers, or don't be nasty to them. It's understood. Why? Because dharma consciousness is mass. Mass means everybody knows. But when we come to countries that are not, it's a very big, big, huge battle. Why? You have students that fight with the teachers. You have students who say nasty things about the teachers. You have even students who play relationship with teachers. Oh, I like you, I'll be near you and I'll prostrate to you and get teachings from you and I'll help. Oh, I don't like you, I go to another teacher, I go to another center. It's like they treat the teachers like some kind of love interest or love relationship. Not like a real teacher. Oh, I like you, you're my teacher. I don't like you, I got another teacher. Oh, I like you, you do what I say, you give me what I want, I get what I want from you, then I treat you well, and I talk to other people well. But if I don't get what I want from you, or you don't treat me the way I want to, I go to another teacher, I go to another place, and then I tell other people, you're not good. Some people don't say it directly, they don't say, oh, you're not good. They say, oh, I'm going to another teacher in another center now. What's the message you're sending out? You're not good. It's very difficult. It's very, very difficult to teach Dharma in a place that the Dharma consciousness is not there. The battle is great. Just like His Eminence Chakorunji said when we met him in Nepal. Today, when Dharma teachers teach, it's much more difficult and they're more brave. And they have more obstacles to overcome. Simply the way I've explained to you. And they say that teachers today are more kinder than Buddhas of the past. The teachers today are not more kind than the teachers of the past. They're more kinder than the Buddhas themselves. Why? Because the obstacles they need to overcome to establish the Dharma today is much, much more than Buddha's time. Much more. Much, much more. And if we think about it, it's quite logical. So therefore, if it is the teachers today are more kinder than the Buddhas of the past, then the students today must collect much more merit than the students of the past that they do Dharma today. Why? Because the obstacles are more also for students. It's the same. So therefore, the point is this is, when we think about all that, we have that wonderful opportunity now to practice the Dharma. We have that wonderful liberation in the palm of our hand right now. And if we don't grab that opportunity, why do we expect ourselves to be happy? Why do we expect ourselves to have good things come? Why do we expect love and understanding from people? Why? What is the message we send out to others and ourselves every single day? By our expression, by our action, by the way we dress, by the way we look, even by the way we smell. If we don't brush our teeth and every single day our teeth smells, we're going to send that message that people don't want to get too close to us. They might like us, they don't want to get too close because we have a smelly breath. I mean, it's nothing to joke about. I'm just giving you a very simple example. So if every single day, whatever work we do, we don't do our work. We don't finish on time. We don't finish correctly. Or we have to have other people correct our work. and we send the message to people, please get rid of us. That's the message we send. Please get rid of us. If our work every day has to be checked by other people, has to be pushed by other people, and we can't get done well, then the message we send to other people is, get rid of me. Kick me out. Throw me out. Whenever we make mistakes all the time, we can say, I'm sorry a few times, but it won't last. Then the message you send to other people is, kick me out, get rid of me, I need to go. That is the message you send to other people. Why do you send that message to people? Why would people want to be around people who are burdened? You see, people don't want to be around people who are difficult and a burden because they themselves have enough problems and burdens and difficulties. So you add to it. You add to it. You have to understand, you have problems, but when you bring problems to other people, some people's problems and difficulties and responsibilities might be more than yours. Much more. So when you add to theirs, you might be bringing them to breaking point. So if you bring your problems to other people, the message you send is this, is kick me out. So when people tell you to get out, or people tell you I don't want to talk with you anymore, or I don't want to be with you anymore, that is the ultimate expression, a human expression to you is that you are creating a blood clot in our interdependent relationship. You're creating a clot. That is the ultimate message you're sending to you. So what do we do with blood clots? We remove it. A blood clot in our body can lead to a stroke. A blood clot in human relationships leads to disharmony and unhappiness. So every single day we send that message to people, and it goes on for years and years and years, that you need to take care of me, you need to give me money, I don't give you money, I don't give you help, I don't give you anything, but you give me. You take care of me, you nurture me, I'm allowed to get angry and make mistakes, but you're not. And you must pay for me, because I don't want to put effort to make money so I can pay for you. That's the message you send out to people every single day. And what's that message? You create a clot in the interdependence. So, the message you send to them is, get rid of me. I have to go. And that's the message you send to yourself. So when that message is sent to yourself that I can't be here, I can't be with you, I can't be with the people that I like, then you go to the next level of people that you don't like, that don't like you, and you force yourselves on them. Then you get kicked out, you go to the next level, next level, next level. And then why are you not happy? Because you're not at where you're supposed to be in life. So what's the message we send to people? 1 year? 2 years? 3 years? 4 years? 10 years? 15 years? What's the message? And then we go one more step. There's karma involved. And then the negative karma will bring us back into that situation again and again and again and again. So how come we can't donate things to other people? How come we can't give food to other people? How come we cannot give advice to other people? How come we can't give knowledge to other people? How come we can't do that for other people, but all the time, our whole lives, people have to do that for us? There are people around us, we look at them. In the beginning, when we met them, they were very poor. They have difficulties. No one listens to them, no one respects them. A few years later, they have things to give. They're very generous, they have advice, they have love. People flock around them, they become more and more famous. Why is that? Because their poverty was changed by their change of attitude. But our poverty is not changed. Our poverty is not changed because we didn't change our attitude. So there are people we meet. A few years ago, oh, they were nobody and nothing. You know, just hanging around, not much respect or anything. All of a sudden, they're like, everybody likes them, they're clamoring around them, they want to be around them. They have money, they have help, they're able to help more, give more, they're always generous with other people. And they create happiness in people's minds, and people respect them more and more. Why? Why? Because they've changed their attitude. They have realized that they're interdependent with other people, and they've decided that in the chain of interdependency, in the relationship of interdependency, they become someone that give and take and give and take, not just take and never give. How can we only take and not give? If we take and not give, we can get away with it. People will tolerate it. But remember something. How long? And even when we're having other people tolerate us, our laziness, our irresponsibility, our lack of effort, our lack of ingenuity, just our total laziness, how much will they tolerate us? We know that there's that big question. So when there's that big question in our mind, how long they will tolerate us? Even while we're being tolerated, we cannot be happy. We have a worry. When do I get kicked out? When do they stop talking to me? When do they explode at me? When do I get caught? When does it stop? We have that feeling. So while we're being tolerated by other people, we still are not happy. Why? Because we know that it's a question of when. When will I be thrown out? When will I be caught? When will they tell me enough? Just like when Denzel Osel was told no. The big no. And Chikun Chungba slammed his hand down on the table and dented it and screamed no. He was very fierce. And he screamed at Denzel Osel, I made you and I can break you. For a high lama like him to show so much anger, and when I say show, I mean show. People like him don't have anger. So when they show so much anger, it means that that person has pushed it. So my point is, what is, even when Chikun Chungba pushed it and screamed and told them off, he still wrote a beautiful poem. He still wrote a beautiful teaching in response to the harm the person did. That shows you his nature, his mind, his kindness. So my point is, what is, sometimes we avoid the person, we think, uh-oh, we're going to get examples, and we're going to get attacked, and we're going to be embarrassed in public. But actually, we look at that negatively. Why? Because we don't want to face ourselves. Actually, the Lama is very kind. When the Lama embarrasses us in public, or gives us examples, or we know the fingers pointed at us, it's pure kindness. Why? It's an effort for us to redeem ourselves. It's an effort for us to change ourselves. It's the Lama giving constant messages and opportunities for us to change ourselves. Do we do that for other people? No. We don't. Usually when we don't get what we want, we just disappear. So when lamas give examples, or when parents give examples, or a friend gives us examples, or even they're sarcastic, or they give subtle messages in their conversations, actually quite kind. We should see it that way. Why should we see it that way? Because we did the harm. We did the harm. So therefore, the message we send to other people is what we will get back. And no matter how sneaky we are, how we avoid our relationship, how we avoid our responsibility, how we try to hide from ourselves and others, during that period that we're hiding, remember something. We are still not at peace, because we will think, when is the game up? When will we be caught? So there's always this fear, when. We go to bed thinking when. We wake up thinking when. We go to work thinking when. We meet other people thinking when. All the time we're like, when. So all that energy is wasted toward when. That's very unnatural way to live. Very unnatural. If we love ourselves more, we will not live with that kind of state of mind. And the reason we need to change, the reason, is we are interdependent. That's the reason. Let's not go to a higher reason. At our level, that reason is good enough. We need to change is because we are interdependent with other people. And why is that a reason to change? Because we need love. We need help. We need social activities. We need care. We need affection. We need intimacy. We need food. We need money. We need to do something with purpose in our lives. And that can only be done in relations with other people. Together with other people. So we're going to be with other people and we always don't do our part. Or we do our part and we don't do it well, and we create a situation where other people have to always double check us. Then we destroy this interdependent relationship. So if other people have to check us all the time, correct our mistakes, tell us our mistakes, all the time, again and again, we destroy this interdependent relationship we have with others. When we destroy this interdependent relationship with others, how can it be that we're happy? How is it being happy being alone? How is it happy when we know that people don't respect us? How are we happy when we know that certain people have helped us tremendously and they're very hurt with us and damaged by us and we do nothing about it? How can we be happy? And this emotional weight will bring us down deeper and stronger till we slouch. We can't sit up straight, we can't even look at ourselves, and we don't like ourselves. And that's when the danger comes. Why is that a danger? The most explosive actions come when people hate themselves. Suicide, screaming, fighting, yelling, disharmony, all arises from self-hatred. Self-hatred arises from destroying the interdependent relationship. The interdependent relationship is destroyed when we make no efforts to give back what we have received. The interdependent relationship is destroyed when we only take and not give. So when we take and not give, it's unfair. Why is it people always have to give us advice, always give us money, always bail us out of trouble, always emotionally correct us, always watch over us, always tell us what we've done wrong, and we don't take any responsibility for ourselves? Why is it other people always have to pay for us, always have to give us, and we never donate, we never give back? So when we hate ourselves, it came from where? It came from ourselves. Why? Because we didn't take responsibility. Because we didn't take responsibility, we create this disharmony, and this disharmony has created other people to alienate us from them and keep them away from us. And then at the same time, the more they alienate themselves from us, the more we have to avoid from there, from here, from there. We can't do this, we can't see that person, we can't go here, we're uncomfortable here. And we start hating ourselves because we know that came from us. So the reason why we need to take responsibility and change, the reason why we need to do things without being pushed, the reason why we ourselves need to be a hero for others and ourselves is because we are in an interdependent relationship. What is the interdependent relationship? An interdependent relationship is a social action and reaction. It is when we're kind to others, we get kindness. It's that when we give food, we get food. When we help financially, we get help financially. When we give love, we get love. When we give respect, we get respect. How do you give respect to other people? Giving things with two hands, that's a small thing. Respect for other people is when you don't burden them. When you burden other people, you don't respect them. If you don't respect other people, why do you think things will be harmonious? Why is it when you don't do your part, you disrespect people? Because you're disrespectful because you don't care about their time. You don't care about their problems. You don't care about their burden. You don't care about how they feel and what's going on in their lives. You expect them to correct your mistakes. You always forget to lock the door. You always fall asleep. You always don't have money. You always do things wrong. People always have to check what you're doing. If they have to do that for you all the time, nonstop, you don't respect them. Why? Because they have problems too. They have financial and physical and psychological burdens and difficulties also. So when they come around you, you add to it. You add to their problem. When you add to their problem, one time, two times, can. But when it's continuous and daily and weekly and monthly, you add to their problems, how do you expect people to react back to you? By pushing you away, by shouting at you, by telling you off, by fighting with you. Then when people push you away and they fight with you and they shout at you, will you be happy? Or do you feel angry? So then what happens? This chain of interdependency, this cycle of interdependency is disrupted. You create that. You see, what's beautiful about this whole thing, why is it beautiful? Because it's something that we can all say, yeah, that makes sense. Because if I say, hey, you're going to be, you know, you're going to go to hell if you keep doing this, some people believe it, some people don't. So there's not this pervasive agreement. Pervasive means, and under any scrutiny, it comes out correct. Pervasive kava. Pervasive, to pervade something is that it fits anywhere, anytime, through time, space, and culture. So if I talk about the Buddhas, if I talk about the hells, it won't be pervasive in your mind because you don't have the ability to grasp it. But if I talk about interdependency, no one in this room can say, that doesn't make sense. I don't believe that. Why would you believe that? Unless you're insane, because that's something we can all see. So we live on interdependency with each other. We need other people's love. They need our love. We need other people's financial help. They need our financial help. Why? Things go up and down for everyone. Everyone. So why is it that they always have to financially take care of us, but we never take care of them? Why is it they always have to come out with money, but we never have to come out with money? Because we don't make the effort to have money. Why don't we make the effort to have money? Because we don't put the effort in to create it. So why is it other people always have to advise us? Why is it when we're other people, with other people, they always have to look at what we're doing and double check us and tell us what we're doing wrong? And that we just completely surrender and let go and let people around us tell us what to do, but we never have to do anything. Even what we do is 6:30. Why? So that's the message we send to people every day. And after a while, Hai Lama or a normal, ordinary being like us, people are going to say, it is enough. You don't think Dalai Lama scolds people? He definitely scolds people. You don't think Thepsa Sarangchi or the abbot or the high lamas or Gandhima doesn't scold people? Even Gandhima scolds people. And we're talking about very high-level beings. So high-level beings will scold us and tell us off and say, no, no. And bang the table and say no. And break things and say no. Why won't normal people like us be even more angry? Is that what we want? To make people angry? To make people hate us? To make ourselves hate other people? Is that what we want? To break down the interdependent relationship? Is that what we want? Is that what we want for people to alienate us and push us away? And is that what we want, to push other people away and alienate ourselves from other people? Then we'll be very unhappy, because that will go against the natural state of the human mind, which is we are social beings. And that's what we're doing. So we will become more and more unhappy because we become more alienated. Even there are very wealthy people that some people need their money, so they stay around them and tolerate them. But inside these wealthy people's minds, they're very unhappy, very temperamental, and very angry. And they shout at people because they know that people don't love them. They just want to use them for their money. Why? Because they didn't make an effort to become a kinder person. So even if we're surrounded by a lot of people who are a boss of a huge factory, it doesn't mean we're happy. Do you know why? Because we're still interdependent. How is a factory boss dependent on his workers? He needs their love and respect. He needs them to care for him. What do the factory workers need from him? They need his financial help. that arises from his care, not slavery. Not that he makes them slaves and disrespects them or makes them work like animals, worse than animals, and then pays them. So they take the money grudgingly, unhappily, because they're dependent on it. But they need him to supply money to pay their salary out of love and care. And what does the factory boss need from his workers? Love and care and respect. And both people are happy. So don't think we can escape with wealth. We cannot. In fact, with wealth, we create even more, a bigger time bomb. That's why a lot of wealthy people commit suicide, or do drugs, or alcohol. Why? It's a time bomb. Wealth only makes the situation worse and hides it better. It becomes a time bomb. So therefore, why should we transform ourselves? Why should we take responsibility? Why should we, every single day when we're out of the meditation cushion, push ourselves? The real sadhana is the 23 hours we are not doing our chanting. That is the real sadhana. Why? Because we're off the meditation cushion longer than we're on. So the 1 hour a day or the 45 minutes a day that we do a little bit of prayers is not enough to pervade the 24 hours. But the 24 hours a day that how we act and think and motivate ourselves will transform and change the 1 hour we're on the meditation cushion. So therefore, if every day, 23 hours a day, we push ourselves, we make effort, we make ourselves aware, and we become people who are very, very caring and loving, then when we do our sadhana, we gain attainments. Why? Because the 23 hours we created the merit. We destroyed the habit. The 1 hour is just a trigger. It's just a trigger. If we think the 1 hour of doing our sadhana is enough to gain attainments, and the 23 hours don't matter, we are absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. That is why people who do their sadhanas, but during the day they don't change themselves, they gain no attainments. Some do their sadhanas for years, and they do a lot of retreats and meditations for years. They don't gain any results. Do you know why? Because the 23 hours of the day they haven't changed. They say, oh, I don't want to do my sadhana anymore. Oh, it's no use. It's not effective. Wrong. Wrong. Why is that wrong? You think about it. It's exactly the opposite. The 1 hour we do our sadhana is not meant to cover the 23 hours during the day. The 23 hours is practice ground and training ground for that 1 hour. So for 23 hours we've been holding our vows. For 23 hours we've been pushing effort. We've been apologizing. We've been kind. We've been generous. We've been supplying. We've been sponsors. We've been helping others. We've been giving food. We've been giving love. We're teaching Dharma. We're creating happiness. We're giving advice. We're working in the Dharma. And we're promoting the Dharma. If for 23 hours we're doing that, then we sit down and do our sadhana. It's very powerful. Very powerful. For 7 years, what the Olympics are every 7 years, isn't it? Something like that. What are the Olympics? Anybody know?
4 years.
Every 4 years is the Olympics. Every 4 years, the Olympics is something like 1 month, right? About 1 month. For 4 years, we train for 1 month. Not 1 month, for 4 years. So for 4 years that we're dieting, we're disciplined, we do exercise, we train in our field of sport, swimming or football, whatever. Then for the 1 month or 3 weeks or 2 weeks we go for the Olympics, we will shine out. So like that, the 23 hours during the day, how we act and talk and how we're aware and how we push ourselves, we will shine out for the 1 hour we're doing our sadhana. You think about it. So people who gain attainments in their sadhanas, people who transform in their sadhanas, people who can see deities, who gain powers in their sadhanas, is not the sadhana. It is the 23 hours out of the sadhana. And the 23 hours the next day, 46 hours. Then the next day, how many hours does it add up? Whereas your sadhana is just 1 hour, 2 hours, 1 week is 7 hours. What's 23 times 7? What's 23 times 7? 141. That's 141 hours a week that you've wasted. So what's more powerful, 141 hours a week or 7 hours a week? Now you think. So the 1 hour that you're sending love out to people every day, 1 hour you're forgiving, 1 hour you're crying, 1 hour you're thinking about the Buddhas, 1 hour you're doing the long life prayers, you're doing the Ganan Pajama, you're doing the Mitsama, you're thinking about Avalokiteshvara, Lama Tsongkhapa, Manjushri, Vajrapani, you're thinking about that very strongly for 1 hour. That's only 7 hours a week. That's only 28 hours a month. Compared to 141. Times four? 560, whatever it is. So 560 hours a month will be more powerful and the karma you collect, or the 28 hours. So now you tell me, what is more important? What is your real sadhana? Logic. Clear logic for you. Now you think, why don't I transform? Because for how many hours a month? 400, is it? 560. For 560 hours a month, how do you act, condition yourself, treat other people, talk to other people? How do you act? Exactly. So for 564 hours, or 28 hours, which one will have more effect? Then you times this by 12, that's 1 year. Why do you think you don't gain attainments? Simple logic. We've been focusing on this. That's 7, that's 1 hour per day. This is 23 hours per day. So for 23 hours a day, we're not aware. We fall asleep. We take things from people. We give nothing back. We don't do our job. We get people upset. We get people to yell at us. For 23 hours a day, we need people to forgive us. We're a burden. We always have to be pushed and watched and checked. But for 1 hour a day, we're very holy shmoly. Doing our prayers and our mantras. We're doing our offerings. We offer incense. We clean our altars. We do some cheap prostrations. We do a little bit of mix them up for 1 hour a day. Then that goes for 1 month. Then calculate 1 year of that month. 564 times 12. 28 times 12. 564 times 12 is what? For 1 year.
28 times 12 is
336.
336.
Okay.
564 times 12 is 6768.
Thank you. So this is 1 day, 1 month, 1 year. Same. 1 day is 23 hours, 1 month is 564 hours, 1 year is 6,768 hours, as compared to 1 hour per day, 28 hours per month, 336 hours per year. Which one will have more impact? 336 hours a year will be here impacting 6,768 hours. So which one should we be focusing on, this or this? So why is it when we focus on this and not this, we don't gain any attainments? Because this is how much time we've wasted. This is how much time we wasted. This is how much time we've invested. So even if we would get $1 per hour, this would be much more money. So if we are doing our practice 23 hours a day, which is careful with our speech, whatever work we get, we do it all the way without people pushing us. And we are responsible. And we don't hide. And we really don't need people to check our work. And we forgive and we're kind. And we hold our vows. And we study our vows, our refuge vows, our bodhisattva vows, the protective people, our tantric vows. And we live this 23 hours a day, 564 hours a month, and 6,768 hours per year if we live this. Look how much time we have to transform ourselves. So 1 year, why won't we change? We will change. But for 1 hour a day, we're all holy schmoly. And remember, most of us in this room is not doing 1 hour of sadhana a day. Most of us. So I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. I'm giving you an extra 30 minutes, for some of you an extra 45 minutes. So this 1 hour is we're making offerings. We offer some incense, we recite some cheap mantras while we're on the internet or on the telephone or we're talking or we're bored, we have nothing to do, or we're on the bus. That's our sadhana. 1 hour a day, and that's 28 hours a month. And then for 1 year, 336 hours, that's what we're putting toward becoming a fully enlightened Buddha, omniscient, all-knower of the three realms, past, present, and future, who experiences the three watches of the night. That's what we expect of this. So we want to experience the three watches of the night, become Buddha Shakyamuni Jr., and have everybody come and worship on our tree. You see, we all go and worship Buddha's tree, but right now the tree that we're sitting on, people come and pee on it. They don't come and worship it. That's right. Think about Tashi's Bodhi tree. What do you think people do when they go to her Bodhi tree? Make offerings and incense and put gold on it? Or they go and just pee on it? Why? What do you think they do with Tamarind's tree? I have a tree next door. Do you see anybody coming over offering gold leaf on it? Or do you see people grudgingly come over and water it? Why do people come and pee on my tree? Why is it Buddha Shakyamuni's tree, everybody goes over there and worships it? They fly there to worship a tree. A tree. They go inside Buddha Shakyamuni's place of enlightenment to worship a tree and collect the leaves. And everybody stands there. When one leaf falls, people fight for it. Why? Here, they sweep my leaves and throw it out in the plastic bag. Nobody wants my tree leaf. Nobody runs around saying, look, this is Rinpoche's Bodhi tree. I've got a Bodhi tree in my yard. It grew by itself when I moved in. I can plant it. The owner told me when I moved in, it started growing by itself. That's what I was told, really. You can ask the people who moved in with me. I never planted it. No one planted it. The owner didn't plant it. It just started growing. But how come nobody comes and takes any leaves from my tree? And you guys don't even have a tree. How pathetic. So why? Now you use logic. Let's not use magic, or let's not use tantra, let's not use karma, let's not use reincarnation, let's not use the Buddha. Let's just use human logic, which is 23 hours a day we're sneaky, we're irresponsible, we don't want to take responsibility, we burden other people, and we send the wrong message to other people. 23 hours a day. We are moody, temperamental, and we always, always make exceptions. We burden other people. We make other people do our job for 23 hours a day. For 1 hour a day, we're all holy shmoly. We have our malas. We all have very nice malas. We all have very beautiful pendants. It's got to be gold, of course. We all have beautiful altars. We all talk about statues. We talk about the mantras. We talk about our sadhana. And our sadhana books wrapped up very well. We all have these wonderful things for the 1 hour, but we're not getting closer to Buddhahood. So why is it we have beautiful temples, beautiful meditation, even our meditation cushions are superb. And we have silver. We have more silver on our altars than we wear on ourselves. Some of us have more gold on our statues than we have on ourselves. Why is it? Because 1 hour a day we're all holy shmoly with our mantras. 28 out of 300, because this one can't fight this one. This one cannot fight this. Then multiply that. For some of us here, multiply that by 10 years. That is 67,680 hours. 10 years. Compared to 3,360 hours. 10 years. Just add a zero on it. So 67,680 hours for the last 10 years we've been irresponsible, a burden to others, not transforming, always borrowing money, always need other people's help for 67,680 hours for the last 10 years. If we've been alive for 70 years, that's 676,800 hours. And then won't that be more stronger than 330,000? So when we die and take rebirth, which one will have more impact on our mind stream? Which one will create a habit or habituation? 676,800 hours of our life we've dedicated to this. As compared to this. So why is it when you die you think you take a good rebirth? Now you use your logic. Isn't that fabulous? We're mathematicians now. But it's logical. So now you think, why am I unhappy? Why do people not respect me? Why am I lonely? Why can't I get a lover? Why can't I get rid of my lover? Why is it whether I have a lover or not, I'm unhappy? Why do people look down on me? Why do I always have no money? Why is it I see people around me improving and I'm not improving? Why is it I'm being ostracized? Why do people show me a black face? Why do I become more angry? Now you know. All that I've explained to you just now, you can meditate. If you meditate on this, your habit will change. Why? Simple mathematical equation. What you spend more time on, you will get. Simple mathematical equation. What you spend your time on, you will get. What you don't spend your time on, you will not get. So if you spend more time on cultivating the good qualities, you will get it. And the reason why you should spend more time on this, the reason why you should spend more time awareness, generosity, care, and effort on this, the reason why is this: interdependency. That is the reason why. Because we are interdependent on each other for happiness. Since we are interdependent on happiness with each other, we are interdependent for happiness on each other. Then it would be very important to not make other people our beasts of burden or burden other people and create unhappiness to them. If we don't create unhappiness to them, even sometimes they create unhappiness for us, overall we will still be alright, we'll still be happy. Why is that? Because we'll have more supporters than detractors. We'll have more people that like us than don't like us. Very logical. Very logical. Why is it logical? Why is something logical? Because anybody look at it from any angle to say, yeah, that makes sense. So today's session, very simple, we call it 23. Why? It surmises or puts together interdependency, the 12 interdependent links. What I've taught to you today is the 12 interdependent links of Lord Buddha's teachings, as in that book that we study by the Dalai Lama, but in short form, in your language, in your term, not in any technicality. I taught you in short clear, precise form and without any of the jargons or heavy language, without studying the book for days, I brought it to you in a very simplistic manner that you say, oh yeah, logically, the 12 interdependent links, in very short form. Why? So you can realize the causes, the source, the reason, and the solution for unhappiness, for harmony, for a happy life. I gave you causes. So therefore, we can see from this teaching today, it's not for money, or job, or position, or beauty, or name, or race, that we have happiness. People say, oh, if I understand my culture and have my culture, I'll be happy. No. If you don't have anything else, maybe culture can make you happy temporarily. If you don't have anything else, money can make you happy temporarily. But actually, no. From this teaching, you can see what really makes you happy is 23. Transforming yourself 23 hours a day so that your interdependent relationship with everybody around you becomes, listen to me carefully, so that the 23 hours a day makes you a person that makes your interdependent relationship with others fair. It's the key. You give, you take. You share, you get. You borrow, you give back. You love, you get loved. When your interrelationship with other people becomes fair, not you take, you borrow, you eat, you get everything, you don't give anything back. That's unfair. When you give and you get and it's fair, this interdependent relationship with others, you'll be happy. Does that make sense? When it's unfair, you cannot be happy. And hence, how unfair it is. It's the scales. If we're taking more and we're burdening people more, when the scales become like that, how can it be fair and happy? This side will be happy because they have more. This side will be unhappy because they have less. If it's like this, it's also unhappy. Never mind all that, just close the window, we can lock it later. So less noise and less interruption. So if it's like that, how can it be happy? How can it be? If it's like that, you can be happy. But the funny thing is this. When we give more, and we accept more, and we absorb more, in the end, we become much happier and better and better. Why is that? Because we become a Buddha. And we become a person that can give and share and give and share without ever running out. A Buddha never runs out of good qualities and abilities. Never. Never. So therefore, the scale is like that or like this. Either way, we'll be unhappy. It has to be like that. So 23 hours a day of how we talk and act and have relationship with others makes a huge difference for the 1 hour we're on the meditation cushion. The 1 hour on the meditation cushion is a culmination or just a final touch for the day's practice. So for 23 hours a day, we should be very kind to others. We should forgive others. We should study the Dharma. We should do prayers all the time to our yidams by our actions. Prayer isn't this, prayer is action. We should hold our vows. The Amish people believe that relationship with God or prayer to God is hard work. That's why in their communities in America, Pennsylvania, they have very clean, strong, beautiful identity, a very strong community. Because they believe that God is work. In Buddhism, we believe the same thing. Effort. Holiness comes about by effort. Same thing, same principle. So what happens is this, is that every single day, if for 23 hours a day we develop ourselves, For the 1 hour we're sitting on a meditation cushion, we will get maintenance. We will transform. We will transform and we will gain attainments. We will change. And we will see a difference and we will impact people around us. $676,800 is about how much we'll be alive. Around give or take. That's not a lot of time. So this one or this one? This one or this one? This one or this one? You think which one? Will make a difference? And the reason why we should change that? Interdependency. Interdependent relationship. We want happiness, we have to give happiness. We want people to help us, we need to help. We can't always receive help and never give. We can't always take money and never give. We can't always borrow money and never borrow to others. We can't. And the scales become like that. And how would that become a happy state of mind for us and others? We lose respect for ourselves, people lose respect for us. We lose all sense of balance. That is the cause of our unhappiness. Then we run away, we hide, we scream, we jump, we justify, we cover. It won't work. It definitely won't work. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked for anybody. It won't work for us. Why? Because people have eyes and ears. Because we have intelligence. We ourselves know what we're doing. Very logical and very clear. Very, very logical and very, very clear. So we have to think about that.